Welcome to the Sermons Podcast for Lilac City Church, where our mission is to help people trust and follow Jesus. To learn more about us, visit our website at lilaccity.church. So without further ado, here's today's message.
Once again, I just want to say Mother's Happy Mother's Day. And I was thinking about what it was like when I was at home with my mom back in the day. And you want to know what my mom really appreciated? Compartments. She really appreciated this idea of boxes and drawers and shelves. And these are the things where things would be put away. Now, kiddos, let me ask you a question, kids. How many of you have a toy box that you like, maybe it's for your Lego or for your dolls or anything like that? Do you have a place where you put those things? If you do, raise your hand, raise them high so I can see it. There you go. Okay, I want you to imagine real quick, kiddos, that mom said, hey, I want you to go and put your toys in your toy box. And let's say you did that. And then you decided to also put your dirty clothes in the toy box. And then you decided to put your dirty food scraps after you were done into the toy box. And you left it all together and they all mixed up. What do you think about that? Is that something that you should do? If you did, I don't think mama's going to be very happy with that, is she? Because you, all of a sudden, the nasty toys that you have are going to be even nastier, and it's gonna be rough. But here's the thing. When it comes to toys, boxes and compartments are really good. But what about when it comes to people? What about, you know, if we think about fitting people into compartments, maybe that's something that we should do, or is it something we shouldn't do? What if there is just one big box enough to hold everybody, not like all people, and you put all people in this box that we call neighbor? What if all the people that you see just happen to be your neighbor? Now, you might think of your neighbor as the person next door, the house that is across the way, but what if every person that you see happens to be your neighbor? This morning, we're going to continue in our series called Becoming the Fully Formed Disciple. And we've been looking at different discipleship identities. And today we're going to look at the humble neighbor. What does it mean to be a humble neighbor? And here's what I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else, it's this. A humble neighbor serves who they see. A humble neighbor serves who they see. And so what we're going to do, and kiddos, if you've not been a part of this, I want to let you know what we're going to do next, is we're going to take some time to read the passage together, and you can look at it if you want to. If you got those skills to read, you can read it as well and kind of make some observations. If not, you can ask your mom or dad to ask, you know, any questions about the passage. But this is a time where we let the Holy Spirit do some work just through us reading and studying the text a little bit together. So we're going to take 5 minutes together, let you look at the passage, and then when we come back, we'll jump in to the rest of our topic. So on your mark, get set, go. All right, let's finish up those last bit of observations in the text, and we will jump in. And just as a reminder, our big idea for this morning is a humble neighbor serves who they see. And so the first thing that we're going to see this morning in the humble neighbor and the story of the Good Samaritan is this: pride sees me instead of my neighbor. Pride sees me instead of my neighbor. Let's look at verses 25 through 32. It says this, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Make sure if you didn't underline that one there, that's a good word to underline. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus told a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to go down the same road, and when he saw the man who was beaten up, he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. So the first thing that we see is a religious lawyer, somebody who's an expert in the religious law, shows up with a test question for Jesus. How many of you guys like test questions? That's not my jam. I don't like test questions because I usually don't pass. And here's the question. Because one, he came to ask Jesus this test question. If anybody's going to ace this test, it's probably Jesus. Thinking he could test the heart of Jesus. But let's see what Jesus had to say. So picture this. Jesus is teaching and the crowd is listening. And a guy stands up and he's an expert in the Bible. And he raises his hand. And he's like, teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I want you to pay attention to the verb here. He thinks heaven is something that you can earn, something that you can get on your own, which is funny because the one who he's asking about eternal things is the very one who gives eternal life. He was the one that was going to go to the cross to give eternal life. Well, Jesus, in the way that only he can, answers his question with a question. Now, kiddos, don't do this with your parents. This is not good form. Just say, yes, mom, yes, dad, okay? But this is very lawyer-esque of Jesus. He says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So he's looking at the lawyer and saying, hey, I want you to tell me how you interpret this. Now, for the religious leader, this was like the easiest question to answer. How many of you know 2 + 2? What is that? 4. It is an easy question. And for the religious leader, this was an easy question to answer. He memorized the answer to this in Hebrew Sunday school. When he would go to kids' ministry back in the day, he learned the right answer. And check this out. What is the right answer? Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, check this out. Jesus, in his reply, he doesn't tell him that he's wrong. He actually says, you aced the test. You got the right answer. And tells them, do this and you will live. Wait, hold on a second. Jesus, why are you saying this? I thought we were saved by believing in Jesus, not by works. What are you doing here, Jesus? Well, here's the catch. Jesus isn't trading grace for works. He's letting the law do what the law does best. Show us that we can't keep the law. We can't do it. It's like asking, hey, actually, kids, help me out with this. How many of you, if I said, hey, how do you survive a 30,000-foot drop? If you're dropping from 30,000 feet, how do you survive that? Riker, what would you say? You don't got a parachute, man. It's just you, buddy. How do you survive a 30,000 foot? Well, this is the honest answer is what? You can't do it, right? It's like asking a human to sprout wings out of nowhere and become a bird. That's what Jesus is asking the lawyer to do, to be something other than human, because to be human is to be imperfect, not perfect. And the lawyer knows this, so he tries one question to make it, make it a little easier for himself, and he says this: if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, who is my neighbor? Now, I want you to see the way Luke describes this. The text says he wanted to justify himself. This is where his pride shows up, where his me focus gets very clear. What he's trying to do is narrow down the people that he has to love. But here's the thing. When your neighbor is someone that you choose rather than someone that you see, you never learn to love like Jesus did. Let me say that again. When your neighbor is the person that you choose rather than the one that you see, you never learn to love like Jesus did. So Jesus, in this way, he answers his question, but he does it with a story. Now let's see how it begins. A guy is on a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now this road, now kids, check this out. This road was about 17 miles. 17 miles, that's like between here and Deer Park-ish, right? That's a long walk, right? Or maybe you're riding a donkey like the Samaritan guy was, but this road is downhill almost all the way. Now, if you're riding a bike, downhill's really fun, isn't it? And when you're walking sometimes, you can walk a little bit faster. But here's the thing. They called this the Way of Blood because robbers often lived on this road and waited for people to rob as they walked down this hill. So whoever this guy that Jesus is talking about is walking home, he was attacked by robbers. They beat him up, took everything he had, and left him on the side of the road, half dead. So Jesus then says, there was a priest. Now, what do you think a priest is, kids? Somebody who teaches the law. Riker, do you got anything more? Yeah, think of it like a modern day pastor. Right? This pastor is walking down the road and he sees the guy half dead, beaten up and bloodied, everything taken from him. What do you think this pastor kind of guy does? That's what you think he was supposed to do. But what happened? He saw the guy that was beat up and he passed him and he walked away. That's right. And notice what the text says. He went to the other side of the road. He intentionally avoided somebody that was broken and bruised and battered. That's a good, really good question. Well, here's the thing, is the thing that's interesting about this text is this priest, you would think like, oh, he can't touch blood. But here's the interesting thing. He's walking from Jerusalem. So all of his religious duties are taken care of. So if he wanted to help people, actually the law told him he should help him. And guess what? He neglected exactly what he was supposed to do. But now another guy, they call him a Levite. A Levite comes by. Now, who knows what a Levite is? What's a Levite? That they are part of the tribe, one of the people of the tribes of Israel. And these guys were the people that worked at the tabernacle. And so this was interesting because this guy, who was another religious leader, somebody who was supposed to be a good neighbor, and what does he do? Walks right past him. This, I know, poor guy, right? Now, here's the thing. I want you to watch this. We can see here that both of these men that knew how to love God passed the others, went to the other side of the road. Now, anybody listening to this story would assume that the next guy would be some religious leader that's going to be the hero of the story, that is going to come and save the day. But here's the thing. The story takes a giant turn right here. But here's the thing. Before we get there, I want you to see this. The priest and the Levite tell us two things. We can go to church, do all sorts of churchy things, and still be full of pride. We can still think of ourselves more than we think about the people around us. We can still see our neighbor as an inconvenience rather than someone to be loved. You see, that's not a humble neighbor. That's selfishness and pride. But now, what we're going to see is that a humble neighbor serves who they see. And unfortunately, these priests were prideful neighbors who crossed the other side of the road when they seen the needs of others. But that's not the end of the story. Let's finish the story and meet the neighbor that we didn't expect to see. And that brings us to point two. Humility means serving who you see. Humility means serving who you see. Verse 33 through 35, take a look at this. But a Samaritan, wait, what? Underline that word Samaritan, that's important. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Think of it as something that's really good for wounds to help it out. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Well, this is where you're gonna see it. This Samaritan is the hero of this story. And here's the problem. The Samaritan who saw the man and took pity was not the person that you expected in the story. The Samaritan people were like enemies of the Jewish people. They were like the opposites. The Jewish people didn't want anything to do with them. And the religious leader who Jesus was talking to, guess what? He was a Jew. And so this turn in the story is really jarring to him. And they didn't want anything to do. Jews and Samaritans, think of it this way. How many of you have ever liked Star Wars? Anybody watched Star Wars before? This is like Darth Vader seeing Han Solo on the side of the road and Darth Vader coming and caring for Han Solo. How many of you like Cinderella? Anybody like Cinderella? This is like the evil stepmother seeing Cinderella beat up on the side of the road and helping out Cinderella. Do you think that would have happened? No way, Jose. And this is the thing. The Samaritan man that was caring for this person on the side of the road didn't look at the person on the side of the road with a label. He didn't see him as Jew or Samaritan. He didn't see them. He saw someone that was hurting and decided that when he sees somebody, he was going to care and serve them and be a good neighbor. And now notice that word pity. He had pity on him. This is the same word the Bible uses for the way that Jesus felt about us when he went to the cross. This word pity is a deep gut level compassion, the kind that mom feels for you kids deep inside her bones. And it's about to set the Samaritan into motion. Now watch this. What did the Samaritan do? He bandaged the man's wounds. He poured oil and wine on them as kind of like the medicine of the day. And then he put the man on his own donkey. Now imagine, 17 miles. This guy had a donkey. He didn't have to walk. But what did he do? He got off his own donkey, took the man and bandaged him up, and then put him on his own donkey, and then took him to a place where he could get taken care of. You see, this Samaritan man understood that being a good neighbor means serving who you see. Because a humble neighbor serves who they see. Now, kids, this sounds a lot like our moms a little bit, doesn't it? Kids, how many of you have ever been hurt on the playground before? I mean, listen, I remember me getting hurt on the playground before. Who's the one come running to you when you get hurt? Yeah, it's mom, right? Who put a Band-Aid on your boo-boo? It was mom. Who carried you to the bench and gave you a hug till you felt better? It was who? Say it out loud, really loud. 1, 2, 3. Mom. You see, moms, that's not just instinct. That's the gospel rehearsing itself in your bones every time you see a kid hurting, your kid hurting. You see and you go. That's the kind of love that Jesus is trying to teach us to have, not just for your kids, but for everyone. But the story gets crazier. The Samaritan took out 2 denarii. This was about 2 to 3 days' wages. So imagine working for 8 hours for 3 days and then saying, I'm going to use that money to take care of somebody I have no clue who it is. This is a deep level of care and compassion. You see, he gave the innkeeper money even and said, look after him, and if it costs more, I'll pay you back. You see, last week we talked about this idea of being generous stewards. And this week, the Samaritan shows us that generosity, lock in real quick. Generosity isn't a wallet thing. It's a whole life thing. Look at what the Samaritan does. He is generous with his eyes. He saw his neighbor. He's generous with his hands. He bandaged and lifted up. He was generous with his time. He went out of his way to take care of this wounded man. He was generous with his money and paid for him to get taken care of. And he was generous with his future. He promised to come back to continue care for the Samaritan person. Church, I want you to catch this. Generosity flows from being a humble neighbor. It connects intrinsically. And kiddos, I want you to catch this. Generosity means that you can see your siblings, your friends at school, wherever you are at, and be generous with everything that you have, with your hands, with your eyes, with your words. And adults, we think that's just a kid thing, but I think we struggle more than kids do sometimes, don't we? To be generous with our words. To be humble neighbors that say, I want to see you and love you. I want to say words that build you up rather than break you down. You see, a humble neighbor doesn't ask, who is my neighbor? A humble neighbor becomes the neighbor. He becomes the one who cares. And so let's now see how this whole story wraps up. Point 3 is, we see because we've been seen. We see because we've been seen. Look at verses 36 and 37. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You see, there's a question that kind of hung in the air here. Jesus told the whole story, and now he turns to the religious lawyer and asks him, who was the neighbor to the man that was in the ditch? Notice what Jesus did. The lawyer asked, who counts as my neighbor? And Jesus flipped the question to say, who is being a neighbor? You don't find a neighbor, you become one. Let me say that again. You don't find a neighbor, you become one. And the humble neighbor is the one who serves who they see. Now he answers, and notice, he can't even say the word Samaritan. Did you catch that? He doesn't say the Samaritan person was the good neighbor. He says the one who had mercy was the good neighbor. Mercy, compassion, Christ-like compassion for a neighbor. Even after Jesus told the whole story, his prejudice clogs his throat of the religious leader, and he can't even say the Samaritan was the good neighbor. He says, the mercy shower, the one who was nice to this guy, the one who showed Christ-like compassion. You see, Jesus then tells him something crazy. He tells the religious leader, now go and be like the Samaritan. Imagine how that hit for somebody. Imagine that this was the Republic in Star Wars hearing somebody say, now go be like Darth Vader. Go be like the evil stepmother. It's like, what a reversal of the story. But you see what happened here is his pride was exposed. His heart was put on trial. And guess what? The religious lawyer, the one who knew the law, was found guilty. And here's the thing, and I want you to catch this. If we're honest, so are we. Now, before you walk out of here feeling crushed this morning, I want you to look at the story one more time. Because the story isn't done with us yet. There's one more place that I want to show you that belongs to this parable, and it's not standing on the side of the road. Because see, you may have been listening to this story like we're the ones walking down the road, like we're the one who, I want to be the hero. But see, I want you to check this. The bandits were the one who attacked this person, but us, we're like the person on the side of the ditch, and we didn't have to have a robber come and beat us up. Our sin did that very thing to us. We did it to ourselves. The Bible has a word for it, and he calls it sin. Do you guys know, kids, do you know what sin is? Okay, good. I want to make sure you're locked in. So we're the man in the ditch, and we're also the bandits that put us in the ditch. We beat ourselves up. We left ourselves there. And guess what? We can't get up on our own. But who comes down the road to save us? Amen. You see, Jesus was the one who came and saved us. He saw us bleeding on the side of the road. And instead of crossing to the other side, he crossed to our side. And notice the word pity that I used earlier, that gut level kind of mom feelings that she has for you kids. That's what Jesus felt when he looked at us. Not disgust. Not, you got what you deserved. Pity, mercy, Christ-like compassion, because he is the Christ. But here's where the story breaks open, because the Samaritan in the parable did a beautiful thing. He bandaged the man. He paid 2 denarii. He brought him to the inn. He even promised to come back and cover the extra cost. But then he handed the man off to the innkeeper. Check this out. Jesus didn't hand you off to be cared for by somebody else. Jesus stepped in, didn't drop us off at the inn. He climbed on the cross that we deserved and died the death that we deserved. He didn't pay 2 denarii. He paid with his own sacrifice, his own blood. Jesus didn't hand us off to somebody else to take care of us. He took care of us himself with his own body. his own blood, his own life. You see, Jesus is the better Samaritan. He didn't just pay our bill, he became the bill. And here's the point. Here's why this point is called, we see because we've been seen. A humble neighbor can serve who they see because Jesus saw us first. He didn't ask if we deserved it. He didn't ask, he didn't put us in a people worth saving compartment. He saw us in the ditch and he came and found us. And now because we've been seen, we can see like Jesus does. So when Jesus says, go and do likewise, that's not him handing him a checklist. That's not him saying, try harder. He's saying, let the love that found you flow through you now. That's not the law crushing you. That's the gospel filling you up. So here's what I want you to do this week. Kiddos, can I see your eyes real quick, kids? Oh, I got some eyes right here, some cute ones too. Yeah. Here's what I want you to do. This week, I want you to think of one person in your school, in your house. Maybe it's the sibling that sometimes you get frustrated with. Maybe it's the kid in your class that sometimes is a little rude. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Now, kiddos, I want you to check this. This week, I want you to see them like Jesus sees you. How does Jesus see you, kids? With pity, with love, with compassion, right? And this week, I want to challenge you, kids, to look at others like Jesus looked at you. And to be a humble neighbor, to see someone and serve someone. Sit with them, share your snack with them, ask them how they're doing this week. And that might be just one, just try one thing because Jesus saw you. Now you can see them. Now, adults, guess what? I don't have a different application for you. Who's the person you've been walking past in your life? That one that you maybe feel a little awkward about. Maybe you've struggled with this person in your life. Maybe it's that coworker that you find just a little annoying. Maybe it's the neighbor that you've been avoiding. Maybe it's the parent at school that you've been keeping at arm's length. Maybe it's the person on the corner you've been pretending not to see. And see, church, this coming up on May 30th, we have our Serving Saturday coming up. And this we're going to practice what it means to be a humble neighbor this year, or this quarter while we do our Serving Saturday. What we're going to do this week, this time around, we're going to put together summer survival packets for the folks in our town, in our city that don't have a home. We're going to put together care packages for the homeless people in our city and take them to them, because who would Jesus see? He would see the least of these, the one who need the most in church. We are going to be the humble neighbor that goes to those places and bring them. So mark your calendars for May 30th. From 10 to 12, we're going to put those packs together, and then we're going to go out and share and serve our community together. Because a humble neighbor serves who he sees. And we want to be humble neighbors. Amen? Here's what I'd like to do now. I want to give you a time to respond. And kids, I want you've maybe not been a part of this, but I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is somebody who can speak to anybody. He can hear, you can hear from him whether you're 2 or 92. The Holy Spirit is somebody who wants to engage with you. And so we give a little bit of time to respond. And this is what we're going to do. I want you to just ask the Lord today one question. Who are you asking me to see and serve this week? Who are you asking me to see and serve this week? And so I'm going to give you just a minute or two to ask that to the Lord, and then we're going to take communion together, and then we will sing a song at the end. So just take a minute to ask the Lord, who should I be seeing and serving this week?
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Lilac City Church. For more information about us or to support our ministry, please visit our website at lilaccity.church. Have a great day.